We're doing things a little bit different this morning, just trying it up, shake it up a little, just to keep you off your guard, okay? I don't want you to get too comfortable with everything. If you have your Bible, the book of Revelation chapter number 3 for our text this morning, Revelation chapter number 3. Savannah has enrolled at Southwest Baptist University. She's up there today. They had some events going on she had to be at, so we miss her this morning, but praise team did a great job this morning. Jeff, I've got an awful loud echo or something here. I'm just going to let you remain seated. I'm going to read the text, then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we've got a special, I think, before I preach this morning. Used to, when I preached, I would put a mint in my mouth, and when the mint dissolved, I knew that it was time to quit preaching, and it was time to let people be dismissed and all. And one day, I preached a little longer than usual. In fact, I preached quite long, and Connie asked me afterwards, said, "Did you forget to put that mint in your mouth?" And I told her, I said, "Well, I reached in my pocket, and I thought I got a mint, and I put it in my mouth, and turns out it was a button. It wasn't a mint." An hour and a half later, I finally figured that out, and so this morning I've got a little bronchitis, a little cough, okay? So I'm going to put a little mint in my mouth here in a minute, and I'll do my best not to get a button, and we'll get out on time this morning. I'll just let you remain seated as we read our text in Revelation chapter number 3. We're going to begin reading in verse number 7. You can read along in your Bible or read along on the verses on the screen. And it says, "And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which saith they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and to worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world." Now, I believe in the pre-trib rapture of the church, okay? And I believe this is just another small reference here to the pre-trib rapture, where the angel says to the church, "Because thou hast kept my word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world." And I believe he's referring to the tribulation period there, because he talks about that which is going to come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And if you look at the Greek there, it's talking about earth dwellers. It's talking about people who are lost. It's talking about people who are not saved. And so just another reference, I believe, here to the pre-trib rapture of the church. Verse number 11, it says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." Let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father, I come to you in prayer. I'll be very honest. I'm excited about today, our 8th anniversary. I'm so grateful and thankful to have been a part of this church for that time and to see all that you've done in this place. And we are so thankful for your blessings upon us here. Yet, Father, this morning, I'll be honest, in the flesh, I feel a little weak. I feel like I'm not able to deliver this message with the strength I would like to. But all I know to do is to rest upon your word when it says, "When I am weak, then I am strong." So today, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to take this message and bring it home to our hearts, that you're going to speak to us today in a special way. But it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The last 8 years have been a lot of ups and downs, a lot of good things, a lot of blessings we've enjoyed. We've had a few hard knocks, had a few trials. We've gone through that as a church. We've gone through that as individuals, as a family. But what I've noticed this church does through it all, they just learn to trust in the Lord. 8 years ago this August, we met together for the first time, and Bellevue Baptist Church was meeting in this in these buildings, and there was another group that was wanting to start a new work, a new church, and so we met together in August 8 years ago, and we voted on that first Sunday to come together and to form the Crossing Church. On that Sunday, I preached, I set before thee an open door, using the text, the passage that I used this morning, and we had set up over on this side of the auditorium a door to kind of illustrate what we were doing. And the message focused on God was calling us to step out by faith and to begin a new work for Him. At the close of the message, if I remember correctly, about over 200 people got up and walked through that door and said, "We want to be a part of what is happening in this place." Now, any time you stand before an open door, you experience a little excitement, a little curiosity about what lies ahead, but there's a little anxiety as well, because of the uncertainty that is there. And I look back at us as a church, and I'm thinking these have been exciting times, but we've had a little anxiety as well as we've dealt with things as we've come through this. But we've had a great 8 years. I debated about setting up an open door on the platform again this morning to illustrate it, but I did not do that. But it did make me think of a knock-knock joke I wanted to share with you this morning as we begin, okay? It's kind of a takeoff of the Spanish word of the day, okay? And the word is, "I'm preacher," okay? And so it's a knock-knock joke. So I say, "Knock-knock, I'm preacher." No. Y'all not in with this with me. You got to get plugged. "Knock-knock, I'm preacher. I'm pretty sure you're going to like this message because it's not that long." I thought that was pretty good. Now, come on, you're going to have to learn to laugh like this, okay? Oh, well, okay. We got to do something here to get serious now. We were focused on starting a new work, and I'm not sure we fully understand what God was calling us to do or what awaited us 8 years ago, but I believe God led me to that passage on that day. And I want us to go back and re-examine Revelation chapter number 3 here and look at that passage and lay it down beside the Crossing Church. Because I think there's an amazing parallel between the Church of Philadelphia and the Crossing Church. Now, there's an outline, an insert in your bulletin, and you've got some fill-in-the-blanks you can do, and you can kind of follow along with the outline there. But I want us to look at where we've come from, where we are, and where we are going. Now, let's take a look at the passage for a moment. You'll remember that John was on the Isle of Patmos, and God appeared to him in a vision about the end times. And this vision starts with a message to the seven churches that existed at that day, seven particular churches that existed. Now, our passage today, we find that he's addressing the church at Philadelphia, which is the sixth church in this series of seven churches. Philadelphia is the youngest town of the cities that will be addressed here. It was established about 150 B.C., and the interesting thing is that in 17 A.D., it was completely leveled by an earthquake, and they had to rebuild the city. And it's interesting that there was a church already up and going again within a short period of time, and it would be one of the churches that John would have, that the angel would address to John in this vision of the end times. Now, you may know, and write this down on your outline, if you will, that Philadelphia means brotherly love. Brotherly love. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania is known as the city of brotherly love. And that's what Philadelphia means, brotherly love, okay? Now, the city was situated on the Hermias River in a basin there, in a valley, about 38 miles southeast of Sardis. Now, if you remember studying through the series of churches here, Sardis is the fifth church that had been addressed. But we find that Philadelphia sits in this valley, kind of, and there's a bunch of cliffs above it, a bunch of mountains, but they are all volcanoes, and they are active volcanoes. And as these volcanoes would erupt, it would cause the ash to fall down in the valley below, and as a result, and you can write this down on your outline, the valley was very fertile. It was fertile, okay, because of the volcanic ash that was there. Now, Philadelphia was a dangerous place to live because of those volcanoes. And then the volcanoes would in turn cause earthquakes. And they had those on a regular basis. And as a result, they experienced, and you may want to write this down, they experienced aftershocks on a daily basis. A daily basis. They were so bad, a lot of people had to live outside the city walls. They lived in huts, in open spaces. You'll notice in verse number 12, it says, "He shall go out no more." The reference is that they had to go outside of the city just to sleep at night and come back in. And they were going out and coming back in. And God is giving them a promise here that they're not going to have to do that anymore. The church at Philadelphia not only suffered from natural disaster and the elements, but it also suffered, and you may want to write this down, from the attack by other religious leaders. They were attacked by other religious leaders. It talks about it in verse number 9. See, there was a Jewish synagogue here in Philadelphia. And the Jews normally were referred to as the children of God. But in verse number 9, God calls them the children of the synagogue of Satan. See, these Jews were religious. They were not truly born again followers of Jesus Christ. They were not doing the work of God. They were actually doing the work of the devil. Now there are a lot of religious people today that are operating under the control of Satan, whether they know it or not. Satan is just using them. We get on down to verse number 8 again. He said, "You have kept my word and hast not denied my name." And you may want to write this down. They were faithful in their preaching of the word. You've kept my word. You've not denied my name. We're going to see in a little bit that this is a prerequisite to having the door open before them. Listen to me. We live in a world today that demands political correctness. But the man of God, the church of God, we cannot compromise the word of God. We must stand on the word of God because God's word does not change. We cannot water down the gospel. We've got to preach what this book says. We cannot sugarcoat it. Connie mentioned in Life Group this morning about some churches today are sugarcoating what's going on. And boy, I thought for a moment, and you know, my mind doesn't always work like a normal person's mind, okay? And I got to thinking, the reason what happens, the preachers sugarcoat the gospel, and as a result, we got diabetic Christians in the world today. Amen. Too much sugar. Well, what does diabetic mean, okay? As a result, we got diabetic Christians. If you are diabetic, you are lethargic. You don't have any energy. The church of God today is lazy today. They're lethargic. They're not doing the job God called them to do because we've sugarcoated the gospel today. What happens when you're diabetic? You get sick. You get anemia. You get sick all the time. The Christians today are sick. They are not healthy because they're diabetic. You get diabetic, it can hinder your ability to reproduce. And Christians today are not soul winners because we have sugarcoated it, and they're diabetic Christians today. Now, this message don't cost you anything extra. It came because I was in Life Group this morning, okay? You get diabetes, you can go blind. Do you know that the average Christian today is blinded to the sin of this world and the way they are compromising because they're diabetic, because the preachers have sugarcoated it too much? You get to be a diabetic, your whole body will shut down. I'm telling you, churches are shutting down today because they're diabetic and we're not preaching the Word of God. You get diabetic today, you're going to lose the use of your legs and your limbs. The churches are not going out doing the work of God today because they're diabetic. You get to be diabetes. If you're not careful, it'll kill you. And I'm talking about churches all over this country today are dying. Because the preachers have sugarcoated it and they become diabetic Christians in that church. Now that's worth the price of admission, all for that. And Connie just stirred that in my mind this morning, okay? We keep reading. Verse number 8. Well, we can't water down the gospel. Verse number 8, he said, "Thou hast little strength." They were not a large congregation, but they want to, and you may want to write this down, they were committed. They weren't large, but they were committed. The key to this stability, he said in verse number 12, "Him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of God." They had key people in the church who stood firm and said, "I'm not going to compromise." Now, Philadelphia was founded for a specific person, a specific reason, okay? A specific purpose. You may want to write this down. It was founded that it might be a missionary of the Greek culture and the Greek language to Lydia and Pergia. You see, it's set in a strategic location where two or three different regions came together. And the Greek Empire established them there so that they could reach out. They planted Philadelphia there so it could reach out unto the other borders around them and convert those folks to being Greeks. They did this job so well, history records, by 19 A.D., that Lydia, the territory just beyond Philadelphia, the Lydians had almost forgotten their own language. And we're all but Greeks. They did a good job in their missionary effort. Now, 150, 200 years before, Philadelphia had been given an open door to spread the Greek idea to the lands beyond. And now God is saying to them, I'm going to give you an open door to carry the gospel to the land beyond. Now, with the understanding of the church at Philadelphia as our basis for our foundation, I want us to look at the Crossing Church, where we have come from, where we are going. Or where we are, or where we're going. I think there's an amazing parallel between the Church of Philadelphia and the Crossing Church. You thought I just had you write those things down just to keep you busy. No. There's an importance here. Philadelphia means brotherly love. And I don't know about you, but I believe the Crossing Church exemplifies brotherly love. Let's be a lot honest. A lot of people who started with us when our church began, they needed to be loved on. They had been hurt in church. A lot of people told me at that time, I'm never going back to church. I'm done with church. I'm done with God. If that's the way things go in the church, I don't have any part of it. There were a lot of people that had been hurt in church. Did you know that's not uncommon? People are hurt in church all the time. And I believe our church has had a job of just taking folks that have been hurt, people that have been wounded, and we have loved on them, we have encouraged them, we have tried to make them feel whole again, and we've gotten them healthy. And some of those folks stay with us, but some of those folks then move on to another congregation, to another body. And I'll be honest, I hate it when we lose anybody like that. But our job is to show the love of Christ to those that are hurting, whether it be the lost or whether it be the Christian that's been hurt in church somewhere. We need to love on them a little bit. Amen? Amen? Now, let's be honest. The reason we're good at loving on folks been hurt in church is probably just about every one of us have been hurt in church. Okay, so we understand what it's like. And so we want to hurt on those, we want to love on those who have been hurt in church. I'll be honest, when people leave, man, I take it personal. It hurts me. It does. But that's okay as long as they go and stay involved in church somewhere, involved in the Lord's work. The church at Philadelphia, set beneath the volcanic cliffs, which made it very fertile where they were at. Do you realize how fertile the area is around us? We are in a great place to do the ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone said there are more churches in Springfield than there are Chinese restaurants. Now, I found that quite amusing. There's a steeple on almost every street corner. You see a church everywhere you go. But I'm going to tell you today, I don't think the churches are getting the job done. That includes us as well. We're not getting the job done. I mean, I believe the fields are white under harvest. Robert prayed about that in Life Group this morning. The fields are white under harvest. Did you know that 20% of the households in Greene County that have children in them under the age of 18, are you listening? 20% of the homes with kids under 18 in them those kids are being raised without a dad in the home. Did you know if you look at the numbers then, there are over 9,500 homes in Greene County where there is not a dad present in that home raising those boys and girls? You want to tell me the job of our children's ministry is over and it's done? No, it's not. The fields are wide under harvest for our children's ministry. The fields are wide under harvest for us to minister to single parents. Meth and alcohol and drug are all major problems in our area. But there's more to it than that. 60% of the people in Greene County consider themselves religious to the point that they go to church on occasion. That means 40% of the people in Greene County do not even consider themselves religious enough where they go to church on occasion. The population of Greene County is 290,000. That means there's somewhere around 116,000 people saw no need to go to church this morning for any reason. They don't have any commitment to God. The fields are white unto harvest. A recent survey said there were 350 people sleeping on the streets of Springfield on one night, any given night, and they had absolutely no shelter of any kind. 350 people, and 100 of those were young people. The fields are white unto harvest. We have a very fertile area in Greene County. Philadelphia was a dangerous place to live because of the volcanoes that caused the earthquakes on a regular basis. And as a result, they had aftershocks on a daily basis. How many of you would agree this morning that our world as a whole is living in daily aftershocks? Political scandals, mass shootings, gender identity crisis, a nation that is divided, riots in the streets. Live with the aftershocks of what's going on in our nation. I wonder how many of your lives have been rocked over the past 8 years. You've dealt with lost loved ones. People have passed away unexpectedly. Dealt with health issues, financial issues, family struggles. I look at our church and what the Church of Philadelphia went through, and I'm saying the Crossing Church has dealt with a lot of the aftershocks in a lot of ways over the last years, probably more than most people would even realize. We've had to deal with situations with people involved with marital infidelity, people who are involved with financial inappropriateness, people who are dealing with various addictions. We've had to answer the question, are we going to remain true to biblical teaching and preaching and standards? We've dealt with some aftershocks. Philadelphia was attacked by religious people. I'll be honest, we have been attacked from without and from within. Philadelphia was founded for a specific purpose, and it might be a missionary to the Greek culture and the Greek language. Those of you who were with us on the first day we started, do you remember we took on 3 new missionaries that day? Missions has been a key part of who we are. Since then, we have instituted faith promise giving. We've continued to make missions a priority locally as well as around the world. I look at the Church of Philadelphia in verse number 8, "Thou hast kept my word and hast not denied my name." They were faithful to the preaching of the Word of God. See, that's the reason the door was open. They were faithful. Now, do you want God to open the door for us for ministry? Do you want Him to open the door and bless us with our ministry around here? Then we have got to be faithful to what He has commanded us to do in His Word. Amen? Causes us to pause and ask the question, how faithful am I? Each of us this morning who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior have been given a God-given spiritual gift. And we've got a commission to go out and to use that gift to meet the needs of others. Yet I wonder how many people really do that. We've got to be faithful. Could you imagine what would happen if everyone in the church got involved and used their gift to serve in the local church? Could you imagine what it'd be like if everybody was excited about the local church as we were everything else? A thought just arrested my attention the last few weeks as I prepared for this message that needs to be dwelt upon by every one of us. See, the question in the church today is not, am I being fed and my needs being met? You get this? The question is not, am I being fed and my needs being met? But the real question is, am I serving and meeting the needs of others? Now that's in your outline, and it's worth repeating. It's worth you understanding. The question today is not, am I being fed and my needs being met? The real question is, am I serving and am I meeting the needs of others? Pastor Cotter quoted the verse to me as we was talking about some of these things. He said, "Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." You understand this morning that if you want God to bless you, you've got to get involved and you've got to be serving. You want to feel close to God, you've got to be serving. You've got to be involved. The more you give, the more you're going to receive. That's just the way it is. So how involved am I? Am I serving and am I meeting the needs of others? You'd be surprised how it would impact you if you were serving, concerned about others. You'd be amazed how much it would change you, how it would impact you spiritually, how it would change your attitude, your outlook, if you were just serving. Verse number 8, he said, "Thou hast a little strength." See, they were not a large congregation, but they were committed. And he said, "Him that overcometh, I'll make as a pillar in the temple of my God." They had key people who stood firm. Thank God for the folks in this church here who have stood firm. See, it's not about the preacher. It's about the people. The people who have stood firm. Faithful to be here. Faithful in stewardship. Faithful in serving. Faithful in doing. Well, that's where we've come from. So where are we? And I'm going to talk for just a minute about where we are. Tim's got a little video just to play. Got a little music with it just quietly behind it. Some of the great things we've seen happen over the last 8 years. So where are we? I'll tell you where we are. We're committed to keep His Word, to be faithful in the preaching. We cannot sugarcoat it. We're committed that God will take and plant His Word in the heart of His church. And as it does, we've got to teach it, we've got to preach it, we've got to study it, we've got to know it. And it's not just for the leadership to do it. It's for everybody to do it. As you go through the slides, you'll see how everybody has been involved through the years. That is what it is all about. See, the Bible is the most amazing book that the world has ever seen. It conveys the insight into life that you'll find in no other place. No university in the land can give you an understanding of life that the Word of God can give you. We've got to be involved in the book. Soak ourselves up in the Word. And then as we do, we've got to begin to serve. Must be a good one. What are we going to do? Where are we at? Say where we are. We're still committed just like we were. We're committed to missions. Jacob and Rachel are here. We have Jacob and Rachel dig wells in Nigeria. We have Jacob and Rachel get a vehicle to work some of the time. They drive back and forth while they're here in the States. In the last 8 years, on one occasion, we gave $5,000 to Roy and Anna Hendrickson to help them get started with a new church in England, to help them buy a vehicle when they were in England. What have we done? We've about raised $2,000 to help George DeMarcus so that he could get the chips to put on the phones for the new converts as they went out all across Europe to carry with them a Bible study program and the Word of God. What have we done as a church? We bought chairs for Justin starting the new church up in Philadelphia, meeting in the YMCA. We bought 200 chairs for him. What have we done as a church? Where are we at? We're going to the homeless shelter in Springfield here. We're trying to take meals to them. One year our teenagers made blankets to take to the homeless people. We put together bags to give out to the homeless people on the streets. We are committed to reaching our community. Where are we at? We're committed to couples through our EXO Marriage Conference. Sherry does a great job with that. The outreach, it's not just for our church. We reach out to others who are not part of our body. We want to help young couples. We are committed to help young ladies through the Pinkish event. We've given out the hot dogs and the Cokes up at Dollar General. We've given out the water and the coffee and the hot chocolate at the Springfield Park Board, at the soccer games. We've given out hundreds of boxes through our Love in Action food ministry. We've partnered with Next Level, reaching a unique segment of our society through Chains Unchained. We've put together the youth camps and youth retreats and the lock-ins, reaching the young people in our community. We're investing in Bible school and Sunday morning and the Awana program on Wednesday night. Doing the lock-ins, reaching young people, reaching children, instilling in them the Word of God. We are committed to missions. We're committed to outreach. We've determined to endure the aftershock. Not just to survive, but to thrive. We're committed to continue to love. And I say to you this morning, people do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. Philadelphia was a small congregation, and I'll be very candid, our attendance is much smaller now than when we started. I've accepted we're not going to be a mega church. That's not my dream. My dream, my focus, is to help the next person that walks through that door. My dream, my purpose, is to help the next person on the street that I meet that needs Jesus. We have a core that is committed to make this triage unit that work that we have here. We have a core that's hungry for the Word of God. We've got a core that's hungry to serve and to have a desire to serve. So where are we at, preacher? I'll be honest with you. I've had several people ask me recently, where are we at on the building? Well, we're just waiting on God for His leadership and as far as relocation. But I will share with you, we met with a realtor this last week. He said the Ukrainian church in the last few weeks has looked at the building 3 times. They're very interested. He said he showed the building, I believe it was on Thursday night, to a Spanish church that is interested in the building. And so we better be thinking, what are we doing if God opens a door and does something? We're continuing to look at our options. And I'm just going to tell you now on September 15th, and why September 15th, I don't know. But September 15th, I just want to have a little family meeting and talk to you about some things as far as the direction of our church. And I'm going to give you plenty of notice, and that way you can mark your calendar and be here on that day, third Sunday in September. So you see where we've been, you see where we are. Very quickly, our time is gone, we look at where we're going. I'll be honest with you, we just want to keep outreach a priority. We're going to keep a priority on our children's ministry. Awana starts on September the 11th. I'm excited. Garland and Sandra this week, they are more excited about Awana and children's ministry than I have seen them in years. I believe our WANA program is ready to take off this year. I really do. We've got most of the workers in place. They've got a workers' meeting coming up on Wednesday, September the 4th. They still need one and maybe one more listener, and then maybe someone who said, you know what, I'd be interested in helping with the Puggles or taking care of the Puggles. Puggles is birth to 2 years old. It's not just a nursery. They do some teaching with those boys and girls in that age group, okay? I'll be honest, it's going to be tough to find that teacher for that class. Because it's a very rough class. The only one in there at this time is my granddaughter, Neve. Now you know you're going to have your hands full. But they could use it. I love my grandbabies, okay? if you're interested in that, you see Garland and Sandra, okay? But I'm excited. We're going to continue our outreach through the Awana program. Our children's ministry is going strong. If you're interested in getting involved with children's ministry, you see Leslie. We can always use more hope with that. We're going to partner with Freeway Ministries again on Save Our City Revival. There's an article in your bulletin about it. It's September the 12th, 13th, and 14th. They're over at the Field House at Adventist Bible College. We're going to talk to you for just a moment after the service this morning, how you can be involved and how you could say, I can help with that. Because we want to reach out to our city through that. Fall Festival is coming up in October, the last Sunday in October. And folks, that's not just for our kids. That is an outreach. Do you understand it? It's an outreach. Awana is an outreach. Find boys and girls we can bring to these things. Children's Christmas program coming up December 15th. I know the youth ministry has a meeting coming up this week. They're going to be talking about some things, getting together, laying out the plans for the fall and next spring for our youth ministry. October, November are our missions emphasis months. We're going to keep a priority on preaching of the Word. That's where we're going, okay? Now, this verse, the passage we read, it closed out with, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." So I'm going to say to you this morning, what do I want you to hear? What I want you to take away from this message this morning? I want to know if you will commit, first of all, to your personal growth. Personal growth. That's your prayer life. That's your Bible study. Would you commit to life group, to Sunday morning, to Wednesday night? You see, you need to be here. If you're serious about your walk with God, you ought to take every advantage we have of where we're teaching, where we're offering those things for you. Someone said if you come to church on Sunday morning, it's because you love the preacher. Hey, I like that. They said if you come to life group on Sunday morning, it's because you love the church. But said the people who come to church on Wednesday night, it's because they love God. Wow. Now, I didn't say that. Don't get mad at me. I'm just repeating what somebody said, okay? We offer these things for you to grow in your personal life. I'm going to ask you to surrender your time, your talent, and your tithe to the Lord. Pastor Wayne preached that just a few weeks ago, I believe it was. Wasn't it you? Man, if you've not been serving, I'm going to invite you to get involved, serve somewhere. Find a place where you can get involved. Now, you say, "My mind's not teaching," anything like that. Get involved. We've got some work days coming up. Get involved and help us in things like that. Get involved inviting others. Whatever. Do something. I'm going to ask you to be faithful in your stewardship. Some of you have never been faithful in your stewardship as far as tithing. Would you start doing that? Some of you have not been faithful in offerings. Would you do that? That's your faith promise mission. But then I'm going to ask you, would you just be committed to this local church? Would you just be committed to what we're doing here? I was talking to Ryan and Felicia a moment ago, and I hope I'm not speaking out of turn. They're looking for a new home, and I'm excited for them. And they told me it's down in Seymour. And I said, "What?" And they said, "But we're still driving to church here." And I said, "Good, I like that." That's a young couple that's committed to this church. I'm going to close with one thought, and then we'll be ready to go. And I'm going to ask you to think about your commitment to the Lord and to this church. I heard Billy Graham use this example, if I could kind of make it a little personal. When my children were born, Leslie and Jeffrey, it was the most exciting times of our lives. And we watched them when they first begin to develop and to grow and mature a little bit. And we'd play with them. I'd play with Leslie and I'd say, "Say da-da. Say da-da." I wanted to make sure her first word she said was da-da. No mama, da-da. You know, we're going to get this down. And finally, you know, with her, and then again with Jeffrey after he come along, I said, "Say da-da. Say da-da." And I brainwashed that kid. And so finally he said, "Da-da." Oh, yeah, he said da-da. You hear that? He said da-da first. I said, "Who do you love?" "Da-da." You know, see, here's that kid. He loves da-da. I like that. And I got that kid saying, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's the greatest thing in the world. Fast forward 20 years now. It was cute when my kid said da-da. What would you think if my kids were 20 years old? I walked in the room. I said, "How was your day today?" They said, "Da-da." I said, "You know, if Mom's got anything ready for supper tonight?" "Da-da." And all they said was da-da. You'd say, something's wrong with that kid. They have not grown and developed like they should. Uh-oh. Some of you have been Christians for 10, 20, 30 years or more, and you've not gotten beyond the da-da stage with God. Your prayer life is just da-da. Every now and then you just say a little short prayer. Your Bible study has not gotten beyond da-da. You're not committed to it. Your stewardship, your finances, oh, you throw a little something in the plate, it's da-da. Your commitment level to the body of Christ is da-da. I show up when I have nothing else to do. Now, this is the 8th anniversary of our church. It's a time to recommit and say, "Lord, I want to take it to the next level. In my personal level, in my commitment to you, in my walk with you, I want to move beyond da-da. In my relationship with the church, Lord, I want to truly sell out Christ died for the church. I want to make it a priority in my life. Let's stand, if you will. They get a verse of invitation ready to play. I'm excited about what God's done in this place. But I'm excited about what's coming. I plan on preaching for the next 7 weeks on the life of David. I hope you'll be here. Tremendous study, David. I love this church and I love you people. But I'm just going to ask myself as well as you, have we let life take us down and get us sidetracked? Have we lost our focus? Would we refocus for a moment this morning? Father, I come to you in prayer.